From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of October, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I talked to him already. I know that the weather forecast is clear through the end of this week, but that last few days of October, not looking so nice at the moment, wet and cold. We'll get complete details from Don. We'll also check in today on what the USDA had to say about crop progress in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska. Those are the top five corn-producing states in the nation. We'll hear, too, from Dave Chatterton at the Powerline Group about the agricultural energies, and it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Tuesday afternoon, here at the Closing Market Report, we're joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It looked like it was a fairly quiet day in Chicago, but I know that it's not been quiet on the farm. Farmers are really progressing quickly, and I think good weather this week should give them a push. What did we see yesterday from the USDA?
Well, they told us that we're only 28% harvested in the corn, but we're 49% harvested in the beans. But the places that are behind are Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, then the Dakotas that way. And, you know, we've made some pretty good progress in Illinois and Indiana, of course. So, you know, we're flying to the fields over here. We're still Northern Illinois, I know, is having some problems. They had some really heavy rains over the weekend. But over here, why about everybody is either they might not be able to get in the bean fields, but they are in the corn fields moving right along right now. So harvest is going to go very fast. This is a very good week as far as weather goes.
I know you've been keeping track of that Northern Illinois area where they did have, I think, 7 to 9 inches in places. So they probably got stopped for a while. How long do they think they'll be out of the field?
Well, they might not get back in some areas. This week's going to be hard. There's still water staying in some of the areas. We know that Roy... that was on the trip with you there, was he had between 9 and 11 inches in one farm. So, but then I talked to a guy that's about 10 miles away from him, and he had 4.5. So a lot of that area had anywhere from 3 to 11 inches.
So we'll be watching to see how they do. However, it's about the whole of the Midwest and the Corn Belt, and right now it's behind, but I don't think it'll take very long to catch up. We'll get to that 50% point this week with soybean harvest. Will that take some pressure off that marketplace?
Well, I think basically when the second half is when we see things start to you know, slow down a lot that way. So I think that it has taken a little bit off that. And I think that we saw a couple advisory firms, you know, saying today that maybe this was a point to take some of your hedges off, the pressure would be left off. But all in all, why, you know, like I say, the bad thing out there right now is we're continuing to hear pretty good bean yields. So, but they are out west. They are dropping off, I think, a little bit from where they were from the last couple of years. So, you know, maybe we can get a little break that way. As long as the government doesn't decide to raise the bean acreage again, the next report.
What have you hearing about Iowa and Nebraska and Minnesota corn yields?
You know, I think they're very varied. I think there's some that are below the last few years, and others are going ahead. I think it's just in the area where the moisture or the weather that happened to be good, because we saw a lot of variation on the yields that we've seen reported. There was a couple of articles were out today that had a lot of yields on them, and it was very varied, I guess is the best way to put it. So maybe not quite as good as we're seeing here in Illinois and Indiana. We might have a lot more variation.
Have you been keeping your eye on Washington, D.C. and the trade negotiations?
Yeah, but I haven't liked what I've been seeing with that eye that I'm keeping on them. it seems like Canada and Mexico are not wanting to adjust anything. Of course, that makes it harder for us if they won't give a little bit on something to give them what they want. But, you know, the one thing we do really hope is, as we go along, especially for agriculture, that we don't just back out of NAFTA, because this is still, even if it might be some things that are against us, all in all, it's very good to keep Canada and Mexico, some of our biggest trading partners, happy.
Important to note that Canada, or rather Mexico, is the number one destination for exported corn from the United States. So it's important for producers, and all others to pay attention to what's happening in Washington, D.C. Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, just one thing here on the seasonals coming up. On the 29th of this month, that seasonally it pays 14 out of 15 years to sell December wheat. And on the 31st, or on Halloween, it pays to sell March corn 13 out of the last 15 years. So even if everything's slow, maybe the seasonals will work.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always hear our programs anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture updated its weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday, 28% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested. 47% is the national average. A quick look at some of the places that are lagging behind. Iowa, now at 13%, is normally at 41% harvested. Minnesota at 7% is normally at 38%. And Nebraska farmers, the number three corn-producing state in the nation, is usually 39% complete by this time. They're 17% complete. Soybeans dropping leaves across the nation at 94%. 93% is the rolling five-year average, and the harvest looks like this. We'll update you on some of the numbers there as well. 32% harvested in Iowa. Normally, they're 66% done at this time. In Minnesota, at this point, they are now 45% complete, and normally, they've got 82% of their soybean crop out of the field. 33% of the crop has been harvested in Nebraska, and they're normally at 67%. Here's what Illinois and Indiana look like at this time. We've got updates from their statisticians.
This is Brad Summa. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the state of Illinois. Some rainfall this past week interrupted the fall harvest as there were 3.7 days suitable for field work across the state. Average rainfall for Illinois was 2.61 inches, which is 2.14 inches above normal, and the average temperature of 61.8 degrees was 5.9 degrees higher than normal. For the corn crop, the corn reaching the mature stage reached 95% compared to 90% a week ago, 97% for the five-year average. The corn harvest is now 47% complete compared to 38% a week ago, 71% a year ago, and 64% for the average. For soybeans, the soybeans dropping leaves is up to 94% compared to 90% a week ago, 96% a year ago, and 94% for the five-year average. Soybeans harvested is now at 63% compared to 52% last week, 55% a year ago, and 58% for the average. 51% of the winter wheat crop has now been planted, compared to 43% for the average, and 13% of the winter wheat crop has emerged compared to 15% for the average. Pasture conditions are now rated at 12% very poor, 26% poor, 40% fair, 21% good, and 1% excellent. Again, this has been Brad Summa, Heartland Regional Director of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in St. Louis, Missouri, reporting on the crop conditions for the state of Illinois.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 15, 2017. Rain and fog made for a bad week for soybean harvest. Some corn was harvested between showers. Winter wheat and cover crops have started to emerge and appear to have good stands. There is still more winter wheat to be planted. Forage and pastures have started to green up and grow again with warm weather and some big rains. Corn was 91% matured compared to 97% last year and 94% five-year average. Corn was 34% harvested compared to 50% last year and 46% five-year average. Soybeans were 95% dropping leaves compared to 95% last year and 95% five-year average. Soybeans were 52% harvested compared to 51% last year and 52% five-year average. Winter wheat was 45% planted compared to 49% last year and 49% 5-year average. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, fall tillage, and application of lime, manure, and fall fertilizer. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
Let's take a look now at today's agricultural news. We'll start with NAFTA. Canada and Mexico have both said they're not walking away from the North American Free Trade Agreement following hard-hitting proposals by the United States. However, online source Axios points out that folks on Capitol Hill are starting to ask when, not if, President Trump will issue a notice to withdraw from NAFTA. The U.S. hardball approach on dairy and automotive trade, along with the Buy American initiative and others, has sources close to the negotiation, saying there's no chance of a compromise solution unless U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer changes tactics. The answers to those questions may be answered by understanding the mind of the man at the head of the U.S. table. Lighthizer may have an audience of one, but in many ways his own ideology is driving the negotiating agenda. At a private lunch following a rare public speech at the Center of Strategic and International Studies on September the 18th, Lighthizer told a group of about 25 people that he believed the size of the U.S. market was still the driving force for getting countries to meet U.S. demands. And despite a global movement towards rules-based regional trade deals, he said bilateral agreements are where the U.S. can better exert its leverage. As for rules, Lighthizer says they're generally weak and not easily enforced. The White House has not denied that Trump and Lighthizer have discussed the 6-month withdrawal notice, but say that doesn't mean he's moments away from doing so. Mexico and Canada, for their part, are not walking away from the talks as both sides agree to take part in the negotiations in good faith due to NAFTA's benefits for both countries. Well, let's switch topics from trade to biofuels, and we'll stay in Washington, D.C., where Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is expected to be joined by Senators Joni Ernst and Deb Fischer and possibly others in a meeting today with EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt that comes amid growing concern that the Trump administration is reneging on a campaign promise and undermining the biofuels industry. EPA's recent proposal to cut biomass-based biodiesel quotas for 2018 and 19, as well as recent reports that the agency was considering allowing use of credits from ethanol shipped overseas, has drawn multiple letters from senators in recent weeks, including a bipartisan missive from 38 members of the upper chamber, and another with 29 signatories that was sent to Pruitt on Monday. Those join 4 ethanol state governors' concerns regarding the renewable fuel standard. In a letter Monday, too, the governors of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and South Dakota told the president they were concerned about where the EPA's proposed implementation of the RFS policy is heading and its impact on farmers and the rural economy. The 4 Republicans urged the president to keep his campaign promises to rural America to support the RFS. The Environmental Protection Agency recently released a request for additional comments on reducing previously finalized volumes required for the RFS program and on using waiver authorities to further reduce biodiesel volumes. The National Biodiesel Board echoed the comments from the letter, saying the latest proposed cuts to the RFS volumes threaten jobs in rural America, along with hurting companies that have invested to comply with the RFS, and that it undermines energy security goals of the program. And finally, today we'll stay with the EPA, which last week declared dicamba under its restricted use category. But a weed scientist from right here on campus has doubts the new restrictions will be beneficial. Aaron Hager, a professor at the University of Illinois, told Reuters nothing in these new restrictions addresses volatility, and that's still an issue. The EPA said Friday it would classify dicamba as restricted use, limit spray times and required wind conditions, along with requiring detailed record keeping of dicamba use. Under the requirements, certified pesticide applicators or people under their supervision will be allowed to spray dicamba in 2018. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies. Dave Chatterton is here. He is with Powerline Group right here in Champaign County. Hey, thanks, Dave, for taking the time with us today.
Todd, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with diesel fuel and talk about where it stands today. This is one of those fuels, in along with gasoline, that has been impacted, I believe, by the series of hurricanes that have struck the U.S. coastlines.
Yeah, certainly, Todd. I mean, there's been a lot going on in the energy complex in general. It's been a busy, trade with all that's going on with OPEC, with the Trump administration and probing North Korea, probing Iran, talking about, you know, withdrawing the nuclear deal and all kinds of different things, as well as the general things going on in the Mideast. But following three Gulf hurricanes here, we've had Harvey, Irma, and Nadal come in and subsequently affect some degree of refinery operations as well as supply and logistical disruptions. We've had a pretty good strong domestic demand for diesel fuel, and we've actually had record-setting exports here also on the distillate side of the complex. So we've got a situation here where diesel fuel prices, if you go back and look at where we were at in the summer, we bottomed out in late June in the Chicago wholesale or refinery hub market. We bottomed out at about $1.40 a gallon. We've since jumped up to over $1.95 a gallon here this week. So that's a 55-cent, turnaround here in a very short amount of time, and certainly things have been on the firm side here. We've had what we haven't seen in the grain complex, we've found in the energy complex, and that's the fund length in the market, or the fund interest at least in the market, has been very strong here going forward.
And if you switch topics just a bit, because I think many producers, especially those who listen mostly by podcast in Minnesota, Iowa, parts of the Dakotas, will be concerned about propane, its availability, and its price. What do you see there?
Well, similar to what we see in diesel fuel, wholesale propane values also bottomed out in late June. They were around 54 cents for the Midwest hub, which we call Conway. And they've now pushed above 90 cents. And there's continuing concerns here about propane stocks and the supply heading into what we'll call the peak winter demand season. So for us, it's grain drying, and then we transition over from a bigger industry standpoint into the winter heating oil season. Current propane stocks are down about 24% compared to where they were a year ago at this time, and they're 8% below the five-year average. So the big unknown, I guess, and the explanation as to why that is, the market is so nervous here, is the expanded export capacity that we've seen in the Gulf Coast. And propane exports in general here out of the U.S. have just basically exploded. We went from around, let's say, 100,000 barrel per day average in 2012 to recently we're over 1 million barrels a day here so far this year. And so, should we see, high grain drying demand? Should we see a cold winter that kicks in on top of those exports? We kind of get a double whammy to where our supplies go here, and it's a very tight market. Grain drying in particular has been muted on one side, I think, by cheap prices, Todd, but on the other side, we're going to put away a lot of corn, both commercially and on-farm here this year, and it needs to be in proper condition. We've got, particularly at some of the areas that you mentioned, Minnesota, northern Iowa, et cetera, where there's a late harvest going on, it's going to only accentuate the problem. We don't have a lot of drying days left here from a purely weather standpoint. So if you need some supplies there, we wouldn't wait. We'd go ahead and get those covered, and we'll take up next year.
Where does the trade consider themselves in this marketplace at this point?
Well, the trade on the part of the commodity funds, we've seen actually, record length in and out of this market, depending on how you look at it. If you combine all the major, oil components, the refined fuels, the Brent contract, the WTI crude contract that we trade on the NYMEX, we're coming off a record long exposure from the part of the funds in the complex. And it's one of the few commodities that we've seen that. We've seen crude push above that $53 mark here recently. We've seen futures, for gasoline and diesel fuel come right along after the storm here, and it actually outrun the gains that we've seen in crude. So that degree of fund length in the complex, whether it's crude oil, whether it's distillates and diesel fuel, whether it's gasoline, certainly makes us vulnerable to a little bit of a price correction here at some point down the road.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with the Powerline Group. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Don Dayweather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. What a beautiful day it is here.
Yeah, a lot of the nation really coast to coast enjoying a fairly tranquil stretch of weather here, and that's really going to be the case here for the next few days. We do see in the longer term a trend that's going to end up getting colder for the Midwest and Corn Belt, but that is probably going to be maybe about a week, maybe shorter than a week away. So in the meantime, good, decent weather coming our way for harvest operations. Nothing looking too bad coast to coast, at least here through the week.
And then once you get into the last few days of October, I take it things change. How much colder, and do we get wet too?
Yeah, a little bit of both. It really does look like right at the end of the month, probably after the 25th or 26th, the jet stream's going to buckle, and we are going to see some colder air get cut loose out of Canada and go right into the Great Lakes and the Corn Belt area. And you'd expect to get some precipitation. We should. I can't tell you how much it's going to be this far out, but certainly we should all anticipate the central and eastern part of the U.S. turning colder and more wet during the last 5 or 6 days of the month.
How much more cold?
Well, I certainly see freezing temperatures with this last of October cold shot.
And then turn your attention to South America, where Mato Grosso has been looking to get additional rainfall to get a kickstart for their growing season.
Well, not real rainy down there, at least here in the short term. That area is going to see some spotty areas of rain. Amounts, though, aren't going to be probably what they'd like to see. Longer term, next week, we do see a better chance of precipitation in those key growing areas of South America, but at least here for this week ahead, rain is going to only be spotty.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.